Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Time. We have a special guest. I'll tell you all how great they are on Sunday, but we don't have a whole lot of time right now. But we're blessed. As y'all noticed in the last, since we came back from our trip to Toronto, Lord has really been doing something in this house to begin with, but something to do with relationships and just clean relationships. And remember, we said there was going to be kind of a pruning happening in the house, and many people felt like it was in our hearts, and that happened. And he did it in the house, unfortunately, but fortunately. But there's just a real clean flow that we have, that we've been experiencing. Amen? Thanks, Kevin. I can always count on you, bro. We're just a people of community. One of the things, out of all the things to say about the revival that's in the flow that's happening in Toronto, one of the things I think that the least amount of credit that I hold the highest esteem for. If God decides to visit someplace, man can try to take a little bit of credit, but it's really hard to take credit for what God did. The thing that I really admire about the flow in Toronto is that the main people who were there at the beginning are still connected there. And I know we have a lot of people who are young in the Lord here. What you're going to notice is some of you are going to start revivals that touch the world, and you're going to start studying revival, and revivals cause ugly church sometimes. When people aren't healed and they get power, they become the older brother instead of fathers. And for just because of the emphasis on living clean, living honest relationships, people getting healed in their hearts. And I imagine, though nobody's told me this, having the difficult conversations early, they've been able to avoid a lot of the problems that a lot of churches that get touched by the power of God have had. Or at least they've stemmed the ugly fruit of it. I'm sure they've had all the problems, but they've been able to deal with it early. And what we've wanted to do is my heart is that I get to visit your outpourings. That's like my dream. My dream is that I become older. And I just get to, I have life goals, and one of my life goals is I have a certain number of churches. I want to sit in. Some of my life goals include sitting in the congregation of men and women of God that I've released into ministry. That's just what we really enjoy here, is watching people flow in their gifts. And we can't do that if we don't walk clean, right? We know what's motivating us and what's motivating our relationships, and then letting the Holy Ghost take over. So I'm going to ask Dan and Gwen to come on up. I don't know who's going to share, but if you would honor Dan Slade, and you have full liberty to do whatever you want to do. Here you go.
All right. Well, hi, everybody. Good to see you all, those who I can see, because I can see the lights. But we are really, really glad to be here with you guys tonight. We're from Canada. Now, an hour before I got here, I phoned a friend in Ottawa, which is the capital of Canada. In Celsius, it was minus 12 there. So that means, I'm not sure exactly what that is, Fahrenheit, but it's really cold. Yeah, it's really cold. And so we're really glad to be in Florida, just to let you know. And arriba! I'm going to tell you the story about that before we go get too far. But, we came here tonight, we had 5 days of holidays over in the Kendall area of Miami, and we just did absolutely nothing. And it was really fun. So I want to introduce, I'm Dan, okay, and this is my dear wife, Gwen. And we've been married for 29 and a half years. We've been faithful to one another for 29 and a half years. We've got 5 kids, ages 27 down to 18. And they're scattered all over Canada right now. Actually, one's in Michigan. And I'm going to just have Gwen say hi, and then we'll just see what happens.
Hi. It's wonderful to be here. You know, it's exciting to come and meet the new members of our family. I'm the one who actually processes everybody and goes through all the applications and passes them on where they need to be. So it's nice to meet the people that I read about in the application. And we really are excited and honored to have you guys as part of our family. And we're going to be going around bragging about you guys. I can tell that already just for the few minutes we've been here, that worship was awesome and your hearts are just beautiful. They're just beautiful. But I'll just give a quick background. We do have 5 children. We actually raised them mainly in Ukraine. We lived in Ukraine for 12 years. Our youngest was born there. I was pregnant with her when we moved there. And so she was born there. Her name is Oksana, but she is Canadian, even though she was born there. But they loved growing up in Ukraine. And we moved back to Canada in 2006. And our kids tell us they wouldn't want to have grown up anywhere else. And so they speak Russian, they can read and write it, and they still have friends and connections. We go back there quite regularly. We still oversee the churches in Partners in Harvest in Ukraine that we networked together there. So it's been fun, but we feel honored now to come and to just oversee the network of Partners in Harvest all over the world, and we just feel it's a privilege to just travel around and get to meet all of you. And you guys are doing an amazing job. And thank you for your hearts and for what you're doing here and for the presence of God that you're bringing here. And we bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. All right. So, you know, as we kind of get to know each other, as we get to know each other this weekend, once in a while, you might hear this word, arriba, coming out of my mouth. And I just need to explain that to you, okay? Okay. In fact, there's a lot that I might need to explain to you. We should probably back up a little bit, way, way back. I was raised in a very conservative Christian tradition. And I had a wonderful mom and dad. Every time the church was open on the Sunday morning, I was there. Sunday night, I was there. Wednesday night, we were there, and I grew up in that tradition. When I was a teenager, I had a time where I fell away from the Lord, but I came back to the Lord when I was about 18, 19 years old or so, and it's been an adventure ever since. But because of that conservative tradition that I grew up with, I had really no context for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And especially encounters with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was taught quite against that. And not only was I taught against it, I started preaching against it. In fact, so when I was about 19, 21, 21 year, 22 years old, my favorite hobbies were golf and talking Pentecostals out of speaking in tongues. And that was bad. Just in case you're wondering, that's not a good hobby, okay? And so because of that, I had a lot of like prejudice against the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of God. And so I was on fire in certain ways, but in other ways, because of my tradition and the way I approached a relationship with the Holy Spirit, there was a lot that I was missing. And so when I met my wife, Gwen, we met in Bible school, actually we met on a Greyhound bus, and the name of the number of that bus was 666. Don't get into that, but anyways, that was in Calgary, Alberta. And when we got married, we got into a church, and we had this problem because I became the pastor of this church. I was 25 years old, and I had two problems, because. The first problem was that the church was dead. That's problem number one. And number two, I was the leader of the dead church. And so when you know it, and everybody in the church knows it, and the community knows it in the small community, that, you know, you're in this dead church. There's really nothing happening there. People are very anxious to try to get out right after the final amen. And, you know, we would have, the interesting thing about it is that we, you know, people talk about manifestations today, you know, and the controversy of manifestations. But actually, we would have a lot of manifestations in our church, even when it was kind of a dead church. And it was, you know, one of the manifestations was... And people would kind of just fall asleep. And, you know, when you're preaching and they fall asleep, you know, it kind of gets to you. And rejection and everything like that. And the other manifestation that we had on a regular basis was the left arm manifestation. Do you know, ever been in church, did you see these left arm manifestations? It's really something. Especially about 10 to 12, you know, 5 to 12. The left arm would start going up. And so we didn't really know what to do. We, after about 6 months of being there, like, remember, we're 25 years old. I had just gone to 4 years of Bible school. My wife had been to Bible school. We had studied the Word. We were on fire. We were ready to set the world, upside down. And as time goes on, it's like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And the people don't like me, I don't think. And I was getting to the point where I really did not like them. And on Sunday mornings would come along. And my wife would get me up, and she'd try to make me to go to church. And I was the pastor. She said, honey, come in. It's time to go to church. It's Sunday. I said, I don't want to go. I'm not going to go. You have to go. You're the pastor. You're the preacher. You have to preach. I said, you can preach. You're a good teacher. You can get up there. I don't want to go to church. I didn't like them. They didn't like me. And then we'd just go on and on. And finally, she would say, you know, honey, they pay you a salary, you know. And I said, okay, well, I'll go. And so I'm just confessing to you, you know, that I went for the check. But that was the way it was. But really, on the side, because of about 6 months there, I was really seriously considering, I was 25 years old, just leaving all of that, what I had considered ministry, and then just going over to drive a truck or something like that. And this is near Niagara Falls, Ontario, Niagara Falls, Canada. And so we didn't know what to do. So we started crying out to God. Well, one of the things that we did is we started crying out to God all night. And, you know, the Bible talks about day and night prayer. And when you're desperate, you know, you're willing to give up food, you're willing to give up sleep, you're willing to give up, you know, all kinds of stuff, because you just need to see, you need to have an answer from God. And that's the condition I was in. I was 25 years old, really ready to quit everything I'd been prepared for the last 4 years, and I really needed an answer from God. And so we started crying out. And we didn't really hear a lot, except one Sunday morning I was preaching through the book of James. And at the end of the book of James, it says, if any man is sick, let him call for these elders of the church. Let him call the elders. Let him anoint the sick person with oil. Let him confess their sins. And the prayer of faith will raise them up. Now, in my tradition, we had never actually done that. In fact, not only had we not done that, it was against, like, the constitution of our church to even try to attempt that, because we had a doctrine that said all those things were passed away. But I was at the point where I didn't really care anymore what the Constitution said. And so at the end of that message, when I was preaching through the book of James, I said, okay, from now on, if anybody is sick in this church, you're going to call the elders, we're going to come and pray for you. And, you know, I really didn't expect anything to happen. I was just trying to make a noise in the church, really. And at the end of the meeting, this mom who has an 11-year-old daughter comes up to me and says, would you come over on Tuesday night and pray for my daughter? And it's like, oh, my goodness, someone actually believes this. And I got scared. So because I had this commitment that I said, you know, over the pulpit, I went to the elders. I said, we're going over to so-and-so's house on Tuesday night, and we're gonna pray for their daughter. And they were really upset at me. I messed up their bingo night or something like that. But we went over on Tuesday night. And remember, we were really, really nervous because this was actually against the bylaws and the constitution of our particular tradition to actually do this. And so we sat down and looked at each other and we started drinking tea. And then we had small talk and started drinking more tea. And then we had more small talk and drinking more tea. After a while, we drank so much tea, I needed to go to the bathroom. So I ran to the bathroom back and forth two or three times. Then I thought to myself, really, really, somebody should do something here. And then I remembered that I was the pastor. So I went and I said, okay, bring her in. So they brought this little 11-year-old daughter in. And remember, you know, the Bible says in James chapter 5, anoint with oil. And we had no idea what kind of oil to use. Was it 1050, you know, 530, 1040, sunflower, mazola, butter, you know, what exactly? Because this was all new to us. And so somehow we found some oil. And, you know, now she had a stomach issue. So, you know, wouldn't it be logic if she has a stomach issue that, like, she swallows the oil and get the oil just as far down deep? You know, that makes sense to me. We didn't do that, okay. We just got I had you there. We dapped her a little bit everywhere, and we prayed, and there was absolutely no thunder, no lightning, no sun. The only thing that I could feel was these elders and their eyes just staring at me like, you ruined my Tuesday night, and what are we doing here? And so we prayed, we say amen, I ran home, and it was so awkward that I really made a commitment inside. I said, I'm never going to do that again, because it was so awkward. So the next Sunday morning, we were going through our ceremony at our church. And it was like our church had three hymns, announcements, offering, another hymn. I start preaching. People fall asleep. I wake them up. We say amen. We go home. So that was basically our ceremony. So we during the announcements, the mom stood up, and she said, Pastor, can I say something? Now, no one had ever done this before, and so everybody goes, whoo. She broke the order of the service after 75 years. And I said, Arriba. No, I didn't say that. I said, ha, 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 ha.
More, Lord.
I said, hubba, 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 hubba. I said, go ahead. And she said, Pastor, thank you for coming over. My little girl can eat. She's been healed. And I stuck up my chest and I said, of course she can. Who's next? Actually not. I was more surprised than anybody else that the Bible actually works, what it says. Because I had believed part of the Bible, but I didn't believe all that stuff about the supernatural. And so what happened in our little church there of about 50 people, that started a mini revival, and our community of 25,000 people started hearing about what was going on in our church. People started coming to our home by night and bringing their young people. And what had happened was that I didn't, before that time, really have a theology that Christians could be influenced by the demonic. But after this happened, I started seeking out the Lord, and shortly after that, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then I started speaking in tongues, and then I started realizing that there had been things that had happened to me in my youth, because I'm Canadian, but I was raised in New York City. It's just a long story, and the things that had happened in my youth through various things that happened through 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, that had opened the doors up into my life, even though I was a Christian, and that this was oppressing me and this presence was with me. And I thought all this time, up until I was now 25, that that was just part of my personality. And that I was going to have to live with these pressures in my life, and it was just part of life, part of my personality, and it was always going to be there. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I started speaking in tongues, and I started forgiving those people who had been influential, and even forgiving myself, who had been influential in opening the doors to the demonic in my life, that I started getting deliverance. And these different forms, I should say, senses of presence, dark pressures started leaving me. And I was absolutely amazed that even though I was a Christian, that because of the doors that I had opened through unforgiveness, some of it was through violence, some of it was through sexual areas, that there were doors there that I had to go back to those doors, confess my sin at the place where those doors were opened, and then ask the Lord to come in and for the enemy to leave. And as a pastor, I went and started going through a number of months of deliverance. And it was absolutely amazing that that happened. And then after that, we were having a little revival in the church, and people were coming, and new young people were coming, and people were getting saved. And however, an event, one of the things that I had to do was, because I had talked many of my friends out of speaking in tongues, and I had worked with them to say, you know, healing's not for today, deliverance isn't for today, tongues isn't for today, I wanted to go back and clear my conscience. You know, the Bible talks about walking with a clear conscience. And sometimes, in order to get a clear conscience, you had to go back to those places where there was sin and kind of make that right. And I really believe that's important. So I started calling up my friends. And one of the friends I called up, his name was Todd. And he had had an experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I had talked him out of it. And he had stopped speaking in tongues. And so I called him to the church one day, and he drove over, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And I apologized. I said, Todd, I'm wrong, you know. And listen, the tongues is for the day, and healing is for today, and we need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. We need these the living God, not just the historical Jesus, but we need the Jesus that is here with us today. And as we were talking, we both started to giggle. We just talking about the Holy Spirit. We just started to giggle. Arriba! And then as we started to giggle, the giggle turned into a laugh. And then as we started to laugh, the laugh turned into this roaring, drunken festival in my Baptist pastor's office in Niagara Falls, Ontario. And we rolled on the floor laughing at the top of our lungs. We had never had any kind of experience like this before. And so we got up off the floor, and Todd asked me, he said, Dan, what was that? And I said, I have no idea, but it sure feels good. Arriba. And I want you to know that since that time, I have been loving the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I have been on a journey to seek the presence of God and to love the presence of God. And actually, because of that experience of rolling on the floor, one of the elders in the church had heard about it. And about 2 weeks later, I got kicked out of that church. And I mean, right away, I mean, I got kicked out of that church. They gave me 6 weeks of pay, and that was it. But the sad thing is this, and I don't say this with any kind of a spite or any kind of a vengeful spirit whatsoever. The sad thing is this, is that 6 months after they kicked me out, that church closed. And I've realized it's dangerous to say no to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, and he wants to offer us something. It's really dangerous in our day and age to say no to the Holy Spirit. Arriba. So let me tell you the Arriba story. And then I believe God has given me three things I want to say to you in your time right now. But I'm going to tell you the Arriba story first, okay? Arriba. How many know what Arriba means? There must be a lot of Spanish people here. Okay. I was living in Ukraine. Ukraine. That's Russia. That area. I was preaching in 2000, the year 2000, because we lived there for 12 years. We were missionaries there. And I was preaching. And all of a sudden, when I was preaching, this word Arriba came out of my mouth. And I just thought it was a word in tongue. I had no idea what it was. Now listen, I told you I was raised in New York, and so in 7th and 8th grade, I took 2 years of Spanish lessons. But I've forgotten it all, okay? Because we moved away, and so I had no idea. And so I preached this, and once in a while, from time to time, Arriba. This word Arriba, boom, boom, would come out of my mouth. Okay, you got to hang around me. I'm just a normal person, okay? Don't trust me. Trust me. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. Ha, 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 ha. Sharaba. Ho, ho, ho. Hee, hee. Ha. Okay, okay. Ah! Ha, 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 ha. Ay, 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 ay. So I was preaching this, and for about, during a process of about a year, from time to time, Arriba, this word, boom, boom, would come out of my mouth. Now, you know, as a preacher, you're trying to keep a certain amount of dignity, you know? Then you kind of give it up. Ah! Arriba! And then about a year after this was going on, some friends from California came to Ukraine. I think I just saw something fall right in front of me here. Ha! Huh. I don't know if it's the ceiling or... Because you just never know what it is. Arriba! And some friends from California came to Ukraine, and they were ministering with us. And this word came out while I was preaching. And they started laughing. And after the meeting, they came up to me and they said, Dan, do you know what this means? Now remember, boom, boom. You know, I'm just a regular pastor. And they said... Do you know what this means? And I said, no. They said, Arriba means to go higher in Spanish. Is that correct? Like get up, go higher. And so for 13 years now, this word, from time to time, has been coming out of my mouth. Now, I want you to know it's not my idea, okay? Arriba! It's not my fault. So if the... Boom, boom. Honey, I think this is our kind of church. So if this comes out... as well as other things during the weekend, please don't blame me, okay? So being in this river, I've found out that that God likes our body. See, when I was Arriba, when I was growing up in the church, I was taught to invite Jesus into my heart. How many of you have heard that phrase? And I think I agree with that. I think it's great that we need to invite Jesus into our hearts. And so when I was 5 years old, I invited Jesus into my heart. Arriba. But I didn't know that God... That God speaks to us in our bodies. I didn't know that. Somehow I had skipped over those parts of the Bible where David said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. That's in Psalm 84. David said, my heart and my flesh. See, he wasn't talking about, when he says flesh, he's not talking about like this, that sinful part that the New Testament calls the flesh that causes us to sin and there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the flesh, meaning this, that your body and my body, now hear this, guys. Your body and my body were created to be absolutely saturated with the presence of God. And so he actually repeats it in Psalm 63. He said, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And so for a lot of people, when the Toronto Revival started, when God started coming upon our bodies, they couldn't understand it. But it's right there in the Bible that the Lord is for the body and the body is for the Lord. Did you know, and I really believe, and I think you know this already, that originally Adam and Eve, like they were clothed, you know, they were clothed with the glory of God. They actually had the presence of God so thick on their bodies that was their clothing. And I don't exactly know what that did or didn't look like. I'll be very honest with you, okay? But they had the glory of God on their bodies. And so when they sinned, that presence left their bodies. And their bodies became susceptible to the curse that had came upon the earth because of their sin. And so their bodies became weak, and their bodies started dominating their whole being. Rather than their inner man, their spirit dominating their bodies, the appetites of their bodies started dominating their whole being. And that became the strongest function of their three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. But when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and he starts building us up in our inner man so that our inner man, God's goal is that our inner man, our spirit, our new born again spirit, becomes the strongest part of us. But still, God likes our bodies. And he wants to rest upon our bodies. You know, there is a guy by the name of John G. Lake, and some of you probably heard of him. He was a healing evangelist from Washington State, but he's also from Michigan, but he was also from South Africa. He went around everywhere, really. And when he was in South Africa, there was a lot of disease in South Africa. And it was actually the bubonic plague. And if you catch a little bit of the bubonic plague, like you're a goner. I mean, it's over. And so people would try to avoid with their bodies any kind of a place where the bubonic plague was, but not John G. Lake. John G. Lake would go into those places where people were affected by it, and he would touch them, he would pray for them, he would heal them, he would comfort them, he would be with them in their physical presence, and then people would ask him, John, aren't you afraid that that's going to get on you? Aren't you afraid that that's going to get on you physically? And he said, listen, this is what he actually did this one time. He said, put a little bit of that germ on me. Put some of that germ on my hand. So they took that germ and they put it on his hand. They said, look, get a microscope and look under that microscope. Look what's happening on my hand. This literally happened, friends. And while they were looking at it, that bacteria died on John G. Lake's hands. Now, why did it die? Is it because he had hand sanitizer? No. The reason that it died, arriba, is because his body, was so clothed with the presence of God. And that germ could not stand under the anointing which he was clothed with. And so the Bible talks about four relationships that we have with the Holy Spirit personally. The first one is the Holy Spirit comes within us in our born-again spirit. In John chapter 20, Jesus blew into these disciples after he was resurrected, and the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit came into them. But then to those same guys, now listen to me, this is really important. Please hear this. At the same time, to those same disciples that he had blown upon, the Holy Spirit was already in them, because he had said in John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, receive the Holy Spirit. He blew upon them, and he came into them. To those same disciples, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not just that he gets into you, but that he actually comes upon you. And then in another passage in Luke 24, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, let me ask you a question. What is clothing for? Clothing is to cover you. Clothing is for your body. You know, and I have five kids, and I remember when sometimes they would try to clothe themselves. I say, you know, go and put your dress on, and then come out. We're going to go out, and so they would go into the room. They come out, and they come out, and there's three buttons in one hole, you know, and the collar was here on one side and down in the middle of their chest on the other side, and they had two different color socks on, and their shoes were on backwards, and one ponytail was sticking out here, and the other one was there, and there's a red rubber band and a green rubber band. And you see, funny things happen to us when we try to clothe ourselves. But if the Father clothes us, so what I would have to do is I'd have to take my little girl, my little boy by the hand, and I have to go back in the bedroom and say, no, let Daddy help. I'm gonna help you put your clothing on. And Jesus said, listen, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with the promise of the Father. See, the Father knows how to put clothing on every one of us. What looks good on my little Shekinah Glory, and I have a little girl named Shekinah Glory, maybe it doesn't look good on my Oksana or my Hannah. But the Father knows what looks good on us. And he knows what gifts to clothe us with. He knows what anointings to clothe us with. He knows what exactly we're made for, that our particular, who we are as his creation, what looks good on us. What gifts, what anointings, what purposes, what graces look exactly good on you to bring the beauty out in who he created you to be. Arriba. And that comes upon us when the Holy Spirit increasingly doesn't just come in us, but he comes upon us. Arriba. Are you hearing me? Okay. You know what? Because of this, we're kind of fast forwarding here because of time. I do think there's three things that the Lord wants me to share with your particular group tonight in the next 10 minutes. And I've been kind of teaching, and we're releasing the river. Arriba. Wow. Three quick stories I want to tell you, and it's for you guys. I want you to let you know, during the worship time, I'm standing here, I kneel down a little bit, I'm almost crying. And I'll tell you why I'm crying. Because I see a whole bunch of young people in America on a Friday night, coming together to be with Jesus and to be with one another. And I love it. And this is a holy place. Do you know why this is a holy place? You know, one of the words for the word holy in Hebrew, it actually means uncommon. See, it's uncommon for a whole bunch of young people on a Friday night in America to get together in a cafeteria and worship Jesus. That's why this is holy. Holy means uncommon. And I'm saying, seriously, I got tears in my heart here. Because there's so much of God in this room. And there's so much hunger in your hearts. And I just love seeing these, you young people just saying yes to the Lord. And I want to let you know something. Here's the first point. Here's what I want to let you know. God is faithful. God is faithful. You're young. The road ahead of you is a long obedience in the same direction. It's a long obedience. You're gonna have hurdles. You're gonna have stepping stones. You're gonna have chasms that you're gonna have to cross. But I want to let you know that God is faithful to you. No matter what you're going to go through in your youth. My wife and I have a testimony. I'm 54. She's 29 again. No. We're the same age. We were raised in a Christian tradition, and it didn't really too much exalt the Holy Spirit. But it really emphasized a commitment and consecration. And it said to us, and we were raised under mentors that said to us, you give everything for Christ because he's worth everything. And so when we went to Bible school, I mean, we were crazy for consecration. But when we give consecration to God, God is faithful. He sees it. I mean, I barely was able, and I'm just confessing to you, and what I'm going to say to you right now, don't do this, okay? we almost did not, buy an engagement ring because we thought, that money could be used for missions. We could buy New Testaments and send them to China. I'm saying, don't do that, okay? But now she has an engagement ring. You know, we got married, and I would, after I hear a message on the Lordship of Christ, I say to Gwen, honey, let's just put your wedding ring into the offering today, you know. Remember, don't do this. Don't do this. We were raised, one of our mentors, when he got married, He was at the wedding hall, and all the people brought gifts, and his name was George, and he wouldn't allow anybody to open up the gifts, or even anybody to eat the wedding cake. And he got up after the reception, and he said, "We want you to know that we thank you for these wedding gifts, and we want you to know that they're all going to be sold, and they're going to be given to missions." Remember what I said, don't do this, okay? And he wouldn't allow anybody, He wouldn't allow anybody to eat the wedding cake. And he put the wedding cake in the car. And for their honeymoon, they went from Chicago down to Mexico for a missionary outreach. And the wedding cake was in the back seat. And when he came, when the gas tank got empty, he stopped at the first gas station, and he tried to negotiate to trade the wedding cake for a tank of gas. And the guy was so, the gas station guy was so amazed, he just gave him a free tank of gas. And he did the same thing to the next gas station. Tried to negotiate, and he got a free tank of gas. The third gas station, he took the cake. Now, I very, very seldom tell that story publicly. Very, very seldom. But I felt to tell that story because I want you to know this. I want you to hear this. That may seem really extreme, but there are times we got to put our whole lives on the altar for God. And Gwen and I didn't go quite maybe that far with wedding cakes. But we put our lives on the altar. And we got a revelation from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's this revelation. This is the first revelation, the first lesson. We are not our own. I have been bought at a price. I do not belong to myself anymore. And I heard a man one time say, his name is John Wimber. He was like the apostolic head of the Vineyard movement. And he said this to God. He said, God, I'm change in your pocket. You can spend me any way you want. Because when we pull out change in our pocket, you don't think about it. You want that chocolate bar? Go ahead. You want to spend it on a bag of chips? Go ahead. You want to just put it in the offering? Go ahead. You don't think a lot about how to spend change in your pocket. But here's the point of all this. When we're consecrated, we have to understand that all that we are and all that we have doesn't belong to us. It really, really belongs to God. And that we're changing his pocket. And that he can spend us any way we want. That's the first lesson, consecration. The second lesson I want to let you know is faithfulness. When I was 19 years old, like I said to you, I was raised in a Christian tradition. I came back to the Lord when I was about 19. And actually, this time I was about 20 years old. I was at a church. I was in a Sunday school class. And I heard a verse there that I had heard hundreds of times before. The verse was Matthew 6:33. And it was this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. Everything you need. And at that time, I was a broke 20-year-old, just, you know, working day by day, actually in a warehouse, and I didn't know what my future was going to hold. But in the back of my mind, I really liked the idea of traveling. And I had no idea how I was going to be able to do it. When I would hear about people traveling, I thought, man, wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be adventurous? And I also liked the idea of having enough provision just to live. How many think that's a good idea? And I heard this guy talk about Matthew 6:33. And it was like I had never heard those words before. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything that you need will be added unto you. And here's what I said at that church that day. I said to myself this: I wonder if that really works. And I decided to seek first the kingdom. That meant for me, when I get up in the morning, I would meditate on the scripture. That meant for me, the first day of the week, I would be in the house of God. That meant for me that my priority was the kingdom of God in my conversations, in my friendships, in my dating, in the relationships, the ways and the standards. That meant for me kingdom first. Because I really made a decision. I wonder if that really works. I want you to know that 34 years later down the line, that works. I've been in 40 countries. In 2.5 weeks, I'm going to Thailand, I'm going to China, and I'm going to Burma for missionary outreaches. God is faithful. This works. And at your age, you have decisions to make. And I'm not saying that seeking the first means, you know, to quit university or you know, stop your career. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that everything is, the priority of everything is Christ. I want you to know that. And the third story I want you to, the third thing I want you to know, I told the story about the consecration, about this guy with the wedding cake. I told the story about the Matthew 6:33. There's one quick story I want you to let you know. Because the Holy Spirit is saying to me here, some of you are from families where you've had no Christian heritage whatsoever. My great-grandfather was a preacher. My grandmother was a preacher. My dad was a preacher. I'm a preacher. I have four generations of blessings. My kids are little by little getting into the ministry. One of them is a worship leader at a church. There's five generations. The Holy Spirit wants me to let you know something. He wants you, some of you here, to start building new generation lines of blessing. I want to tell you how I got to Ukraine. Ukraine's near Russia, and I'll quit with it. I'll end with this story, because Pastor told me 9 o'clock, and it's 9:03. So listen closely. My grandfather lived in Ukraine, and just as World War I was starting, He didn't want to be cannon fodder. That means, because Russians, and I'm not saying anything against Russians, but Russians would use Ukrainians to go in the front of the soldiers, and they would mow the Ukrainians down, and then the Russians would come after them. And he just didn't want to get killed. And so he walked out of Ukraine. He slept in the forest by day, and he walked out by night. And he went to Poland. And he ran out of money. And a Jewish man gave him some more money. And he went and caught a ship in North Germany. And he came to Canada. And he ended up in Western Canada. And he met a young believer there. And he got saved. And he had 13 kids. He delivered every one of them by himself. He always wanted to be a doctor, so he practiced on his wife. And he wanted to go back to Ukraine to preach, but the Soviet Union, the Iron Curtain, restricted him from doing that. And so he couldn't come. He couldn't do it. And in 1989, he died. And I went out to his funeral, and when I came back from his funeral, back to Ontario, 2 days after his funeral, I came back, and I had, all I can tell you, and I don't fully theologically understand this, but I'm just going to let you know, I had a visitation where my grandfather came. What it was is I was in a room with about 200 people. It was all his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. And this is all his descendants. We were all in this one big room. And he stood up and he came over to me and he laid his hands on me out of all those 200 people in that room. And he prayed. He prayed at the top of his lungs fervently. And that was like, that was it. I don't know what he prayed. And then he lifted his hands and I woke up and it had felt like, you know how it is when someone just has their hands on you, you can kind of still feel the indentation of it? That's how it felt like. And I can't explain that all theologically. I really can't. But I want you to let you know that the generational blessing from my grandfather came down to me. And what he desired to do, but he couldn't do because of the Iron Curtain, because of the Soviet Union, somehow the Holy Spirit passed it on to me. It was just like David wanted to build a temple, but he couldn't do it. So God says, you can't do it, but your son Solomon will do it. And the Holy Spirit is saying to some of you people here in this room, and he's told me this during worship, that you are going to build new generational lines of blessing. And you're going to see your children, and if the Lord tarries, your grandchildren, serve the Lord, and you're going to start brand new lines in your generation. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Come on. Well, you know what? I just kind of chatted with you tonight. Arriba. Sunday morning. You know, when we were in Ukraine and Russia, like, we have four-hour meetings. So this is fun, though. But here's what we're going to do. Sharaba. Tonight I talked about consecration. I talked about the fact that you do not belong to yourself. Somebody else bought you. I talked about that you are, if you seek first the kingdom, I will tell you that you will have everything that you need. It may be through fires, it may be through struggles, but everything that you need will be added unto you. And then thirdly, you need to know that you're going to start building new generational lines here. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray, arriba. I just pray. And if anybody here wants prayer, if you want a blessing in any one of these areas, I want to invite you up to the altar. I want my dear wife, Gwen, to come up here. Come on. I want the Holy Spirit to fall on these words. No matter how they apply to you, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to apply. He's going to fall on these words. So come, Holy Spirit. Arriba. Come on, Lord. Arriba. This is really a river church. Shataraba. Shitaraba. Oh. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More. Let the river flow. 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 Let the river flow, Lord. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come not just in us, but come upon us. Come upon us. Come upon us. Come upon us. We want to be drinkers. We're going to be drinkers. Shakata raba 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 kita sakato raba raba kabasa. Ho raba 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 kaba raba shikata raba raba sato raba raba kabasha. Ho raba raba sato raba raba kabasha. Ato raba raba kasika to raba. I'm just gonna come by briefly, each one of you, and just bless you, and lay hands on you, just briefly, and just speak the blessing, blessing into your life, blessing about this regarding what revelation applies to you. Let the river flow, Lord. Let the blessing flow. Let the blessing quicken this word. Quicken this word, I pray. Apply it to each one the way you desire it, Lord. Apply it. Shakata Rabba. Pastor Carl, you need to know that this is a revival center. This is an oasis. You've got to just keep on letting this happen, because arriba, they're going to come out of the woodwork to drink in this place. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. More Lord, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord, more Lord. in, upon. Clothe them, Lord. Clothe them with power from on high. The Father knows exactly how to clothe you. The Heavenly Father knows exactly how to clothe you. Don't try to clothe yourself with your own ideas. Be clothed with power from on high. Be clothed with the daddy's love. Arriba. Be clothed with daddy's presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I declare revival in this place. Lord, we call forth the hundreds of young people that need to be in this place. We call them forth, Lord, from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west to come into this place and drink, to find their identity, to find their DNA, to find the Holy Spirit here. Lord, to find their miracle. Lord, to find their destiny. Lord, to find their clothing from on high. More, Lord, more. Lord, I call forth from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west, those who love your presence, those who are seeking for your presence. And the Lord says that there are many that are seeking his presence, even in this place, and they don't know where to find it. They don't know about you guys. And the Lord says, I'm going to make them aware. Shakataraba. I'm going to make them aware that this is a place that they can come and drink. This is a place that they can come and receive the power from on high. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Blessing upon each one, Lord. Blessing upon each one. Blessing upon each one. And I pray that each one would have an Arriba moment, Lord. A higher moment, an encounter. Encounters, Lord. This is a holy place. You guys need to know that you are holy. You are holy. You are a holy place. You are a holy place. You are a holy people. You are an uncommon people because you are loving the river. You are seeking the river. Arriba, you are seeking the presence. David said, I require your presence. King David said in Psalm 105 in the Amplified Version that I cannot live without your presence. It is an absolute requirement for me. Everything is secondary because I require your presence. Arriba. Let the blessing come, Lord. Let the blessing come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Ah! Clothe them. Clothe them with fire. Oh, the usher's going to want some. Sharababak. Usher's come to the end of the line, right behind the screen here. Lord, protect this video projector in Jesus' name. Bless them, Lord. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow, Father, in Jesus' name. Let the blessing flow. Let the river flow. Let the blessing flow. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. Arriba. Lord, I thank you for the callings upon. Each of these young people, Lord, I thank you for the callings. Lord, I thank you for what's being birthed out of this place. Lord, I thank you that nations are going to be touched. I just see increased missions trips coming out of this place. I see you guys starting to form and go to the nations as teams, and you're going to be bringing the river to the nations. Thank you, Lord, for Carl and for Tracy. Lord, grace upon them. Grace upon them, Lord. Let the Spirit come. Fill. Yes, Lord, I thank you that for this apostolic center, Lord, that you desire to raise up here, Lord, this place of Antioch, this place where people can come and they can drink and they can find your river. They can find the presence. They can find the prophetic. They can find the apostolic. Arriba. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. Keep on coming, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, stand in our midst, we pray. This is such a holy place, you guys. You have no idea. Stand. Arriba. In this place, Lord, as the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. In Jesus' precious name. We'll see you all on Sunday. We bless you guys.
I don't want you to move anywhere. If you feel called to full-time vocational ministry, the Lord has spoken to you already. You're not moved by the message tonight. But if you know that the end result for you
is vocational ministry. I want you to put your hand up, and he's going to speak a prayer over you that will happen. Put your hand up. You know, one day you're going to be a missionary. You're going to work for a church. You're going to preach the gospel. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You feel like you're going to be on staff of church as a worship leader. You're going to write songs. You just feel called to that. He's going to speak this prayer over you as a generational blessing that whatever it's going to take, it's going to happen.
Come on. Romans chapter 1, Paul said that I am separated unto the gospel. I'm separated unto the gospel. And there are people that the Holy Spirit separates. And it doesn't mean that God loves them more than he loves everybody else, but just because of the purposes of God upon their lives, that he separates them. And so, Father, I pray for those who understand that there is a separation upon them. It's a separation for the word. It's a separation even in lifestyle. It's a separation to be connected full-time with the gospel. And I, Father, as a fourth-generation preacher in my family, Father, who has been separated, I pray that you would come upon these ones, Lord, in Jesus' name. These preachers, these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these teachers, Lord, these pastors, Lord, that you would separate them with the Holy Spirit. Consecrate them, O Lord. Put your blood upon their ear. Put your blood in their oil upon, Lord, their thumb. Put your blood in their oil upon their right toe, Lord. Even as the priest was separated, Lord, that they were separated by the blood and they were separated by the oil. Unto a calling that was an unusual calling. Father, I thank you for each one of these ones that you have destined from the four, separated them even from their mother's womb, Lord, and that they are going to be walking with you as prophets, as evangelists, as apostles, as pastors and as teachers. Arriba. And I bless you with the blessing that is upon my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can you give a shout to the Lord? Can you give an amen to the word that's been spoken? Some people didn't come. All I got to say is hurt. All right, let's turn everything off. Let's go home. Let's pray for him now. Stretch your hand. He sleeps well in Boca Raton. Amen. He and his wife. Gwen, just if you want to, we'll just bring her up. Ready? Ready? Stretch your hand. Ready? Father, sweet, sweet time with you, Lord. Lord, I pray that this weekend ministry would be easy for them. Lord, that they would just minister right out of the glory. They don't have to expend any energy at all. Father, I pray that you would meet them here in South Florida, that Boca Raton be a place that they find very enjoyable, that they look back fondly upon this time here because it was easy for them to cooperate with you here, Father. I pray for wonderful sleep and, a good room and quiet neighbors and all that good stuff. And, Father, that you would just bless them tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen and amen.
That's a quick question. I heard some of you are coming to Raleigh with us next week, Raleigh, North Carolina. Who's going to Raleigh? Come on, man. We are going to have a jumping Holy Spirit time up in Raleigh. So we're looking forward to that. So I'm glad that there's two carloads coming up. Fantastic.
All right, folks, you know what to do. Let's tear everything. Let's turn stuff off and bless somebody before you go.